good fight of faith. Now, Luke chapter 12, interesting things here I want to share with you tonight. A couple of things that's the happenings of today, my nephew passing so unexpectedly, and other things that's happened this week. A couple of things I want to share with you particularly. Number one, you are of more value than many sparrows. Don't forget that. You are of more value than many sparrows. We'll read that very statement in a moment. But we'll also find out what's the purpose of life. And I love this, Luke 12. So we're going to read down through about verse number 34 or 40. It's quite a bit of reading, but you really have to see it. If you don't see the whole thing here and read these scriptures, you really miss what's going on. So let's begin here in Luke 12, in verse number 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, Jesus began to say unto his disciples, first of all. Now, our Lord is at this particular period of time, he's about in the midst of his 3.5-year ministry. All right? He's about in that second mile part we talked about here a few weeks ago on the going the second mile. Right at the beginning of it, some disappointing times. But in the meantime, it says, a lot of people have come to hear him. And he tells them, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Therefore, and for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. God says, I'm going to bring it all to light. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And so he says simply here, hey, truth is going to come out on you. Lies is going to come out on you. And we're seeing that. We're living to see that in America. And Brother Roy mentioned Generation Z in his prayer. Right now, that particular generation, which is age, what, Roy, about 12 to age 26, something in that region, in that area, that group is seeking more than any others because they found out exactly what the Lord said, nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be known. In other words, they're saying, hey, things just don't make sense of what we've been told. So we're actually watching some of this take place. He said in verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more power that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, in other words, fear God, which after he has killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Get your focus on the right person. Get your priorities right. Look to him. And then I love this. You remember that message that Dr. Atkinson preached here on a Sunday morning? I hope you do. I think one of the most powerful messages. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? You got one sparrow. I remember you can get four. The normal price was 4 sparrows for 2 farthings. Two farthings brought 2 sparrows, or a farthing brought 2 sparrows. So you get 4 for 2. But if you got 4, you could get 1 thrown in free. Okay? And he brought that out so very well. And he says, don't forget, two farthings will buy 5 sparrows. And not one of them. Not one, not even that extra one, not even the free one is forgotten before God. Hallelujah. Even the free one. Then he says in verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Hallelujah. How true it is. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. That's a very dangerous, dangerous thing. And it's not a slip of the tongue. Understand that. Many people have been scared to death. Oh, I said something that was a slip of the tongue. I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Never can happen. Never can happen. This is an attitude of the heart persisted in that brings to this blasphemy. Well, it's a whole message in itself. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And then one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who makes me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, I want to call your attention to some things here in this first portion before we read on here in a moment. Notice that our Lord has preached a great message. A huge multitude is gathered here. He preached a powerful sermon. And, I mean, it's a powerful sermon. Have you read what we've covered? He's talked about hypocrisy, verses 1 through 3. Talks about hell, verse 4 and 5. The hairs of our head are numbered in verse 6 and 7. The Holy Ghost, verses 8 through 12. And talking about a true confession of faith from the Holy Spirit. So he has a powerful sermon here. And then right in the middle of this sermon, this great multitude of people are standing there. And he's preached such power. And here's Jesus, here's God, full of the Holy Ghost. He preaches with such power. And there's a fella standing there. I call him the headless man because he's lost his head. And that is, and here's what he says in verse number 13. The headless man. I've got an inheritance I'm trying to work out here. And would you deal with my brother about this? Now see how sidetracked he was. That's the thing I want you to notice. You see how here's Jesus preaching. Here's the very God-man preaching. And he preaches about hypocrisy, hell, how valuable we are, the hairs of our head are numbered, the Holy Ghost. Man, these are major topics. This is major doctrine. This is stuff they need. And this guy is standing there. I can't help but see him. You know, he's standing there and he's going, I wish he'd hurry up. Oh, by the way, Lord, I've got an inheritance. I'd sure like you to work. Speak to my brother about this. And Jesus says to him, Man, I'd say it, you know, this way in our vernacular, Hey, buddy, listen up. Look up. Listen what I'm saying. Man, who's made me a divider or judge over you? I'm not the one to decide this. And then in verse 15, he adds another part to his sermon, Beware of covetousness. This man's mind is all focused on what's going on in his little world. And he misses the truth. And the Lord has just said, hey, what's hidden is going to be made known. What has been lied about is going to come out and you're going to find out what's truth. And then this fella, I guess you could call him, he could be an example. He has lost his head for a little while because while Christ was preaching such a sermon, his inheritance is all he had on his mind. Money, material things had captured him. Now, I asked myself this question as I read this. I said, Lord, what's captured my mind? I don't think I have the same, I know I don't have the same problem of what's captured my mind, but I have things that do capture my mind that take my attention away from what God is trying to say. And I don't want my Lord to be frustrated with me. You see, our Lord hadn't come to do what this man wanted done. But that's all this man had in his mind. Our Lord had come to do what he knew was the main thing to do, and that was to redeem mankind. And he wanted to point these people, hey, it's the spiritual problem that you have. And I said, Lord, please, today, Lord. And don't you see, I know you see it, here in our society, in our culture, Satan's, one of his best tools is to sidetrack the mind of people, to get our focus on other things. That's what COVID was all about. Yes, it was a real disease and it killed some of my loved ones. It sure did. It was a real sickness. But the way it was handled, the way that the whole world gave into it, was to pull us away and to get us fearful of ever coming together, of ever being normal again, of ever, you remember that term of the new norm? You remember hearing that? The new norm, the new norm. And I thought, hey, Satan is doing his best to have us think about the, quote, inheritance while Jesus is preaching truth. And he's showing us these great things, and he's wanting us to get with the program and see what's happening. And the devil's been successful. He's sidetracked many thousands of folk. I was blessed to hear, though, our church was, we had a tremendous crowd last Sunday. I'm very grateful for that. And it wasn't just our church. I heard reading through some Christian periodicals that across America, that is one of the best attendance in Easter Sunday services in years. And I said, yee-haw, hallelujah. Maybe folks are getting focused again and they're getting ready and getting to see, hey, you know, God does have this thing. Let's focus on what's right. Let's focus on the truth. Let's see that he is in control. And our Lord rebukes the guy. Then notice this parable. Actually, the parable deals, maybe the fella who actually spoke might be in this parable here. He spake a parable unto them, verse 16, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. All right, that's a problem. Talking in his own mind. No, this is without seeking some counsel from God. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I'll build greater. There I'll bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, I underlined this in my Bible, and I said he was a spiritual man. He wasn't one that didn't think about the afterlife, because he's saying to his soul. He's speaking to, he knows there is within him this spirit that can get in touch with God, this ability to see a holy God, to get in touch with him. So he says to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he did consider, and he talked in his mind and saying simply that he was thinking things over, which is commendable. He was, we would call, a spiritual man. But I've noticed something today in today's vernacular, and this is not good. I've heard people say, I'm really spiritual. Now, if that meant Holy Spirit, it would be great, but many times it doesn't. Many in today's vernacular, I really would rather hear somebody say, I'm religious. I really would. I'd like to have somebody say, you know, I do have some guidelines. I have some doctrines that I go by than I would just spiritual, because there's so much demonic spiritism out there today, as I mentioned already. I mean, it's everywhere. And you have all this, oh, I'm spiritual. Wait a minute. What about what Jesus says in this book? What about God? What about the Holy Spirit? But we can say that he was a spiritual man. And then notice in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? He was a foolish man, wasn't he? He was a man that he did talk within himself. He did reason, but I see him not seeking the counsel of God in verse 17. Verse 19, we might say a spiritual man. But now, foolish man, the Lord says, because you didn't seek me. You missed the focus, buddy. You missed it. I had to wonder, by this fellow interrupting the great message the Lord has preached, I wonder if the Lord's actually reading the life history. are telling the life history of the fellow that's standing there. I think probably he was. Probably this guy, when the Lord gives this parable, that he is like, wow, he knows what I did last night, you know. It could be a very strong warning to the fella that he would not fall into this case and be the fool that and was often is called the rich fool, and he not get there. It's a warning for sure for anyone. He says in verse 21, and he applies it to anyone, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So definitely he's addressing the guy in this big multitude who has missed the whole message and just interrupts him to say this. Now, I've had that happen to me. I've been preaching somewhere and someone totally disregard everything I've said. And then even I remember preaching before in a, we would call it a homeless situation, or rather a homeless gathering today. They didn't call it that then. They called it the Main Street Gospel Mission. But they were there, and they were there for food and showers and cleaning up and spending the night. But as I was preaching and pouring my heart out to them, one fellow sat on the front, and immediately after the service ended, he asked me a question totally out of the ballpark. And I thought, he missed everything that I said. I hope he got something of it. And our Lord says, just remember, you have to lay up treasures in heaven. And the only thing we lay up in heaven is what we send on in front of us. It's what we've given us, where we've devoted ourselves. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And this guy, don't do it. He said he's not rich toward God. He said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? He said, you're better than the fowls. He said, you're more value than the sparrows. I know where everyone is. Don't you know you're more value than many sparrows? How much better are ye than the fowls? I'm going to take care of you. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Then he says, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies, how they grow not, neither they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow it's cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love this here in verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. I like that. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then he goes on with another parable, and that is connected with the second coming. And let's read these verses. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. You see the readiness here. You see the urgency. Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning. You're getting ready to march. You're moving on. Jesus is coming. Ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. What a day that will be. Definitely a parable of the second coming of our Lord. He said, and if he shall come in the second watch, that's the dark part of the night, or in the third watch, when you're so tired and you're so sleepy, and he find them so blessed are those servants. The second watch, the darkest part of the night. The third watch, when you're so tired. And he says, that's you're blessed even more if you're alert and you're ready and you're focused in these times. And this knows, notice in verse 39, and this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at the hour when ye think not. And Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And then the Lord answers with another parable. Well, I'm going to stop right there in verse number 40 in this. What you see through all this, you see the great truth, we're more value than many sparrows, than fowls. He clothes the grass. He takes care of these things. And one of the things he wants you to understand is don't be afraid. Fear not, little flock. The purpose of our life, what is the purpose of life? Chapter 12, here, look at verse 23. Consider the ravens, they don't neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn. God feeds them, how much more are ye better than the fowls? Verse 24, look at verse 23. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Life is more. I guess we could entitle some of this section here that we've just read, life is more. And I used to think, growing in my Christian life, I used to think that, boy, if I could just, get a little step higher with God, and I still long for that, but there's more out there I've not reached yet, and I want to keep that anticipation. But what I was missing is this: life 101 is happening right now. Yeah. I mean, while I live, it's going on. Boy, the Holy Spirit slapped me upside the head one day back a couple of years ago or even more and said, hey, boy, look around you. Life's happening now. This is going on right this minute. And that's what the Lord is showing them. Listen, your life is, you're moving along right now. Life is going on, and I'm working at this point, and you're looking out there, you're kindly misfocused like the guy that listens to this great sermon and says, oh, by the way, Lord, I need you to work things out for my inheritance here and talk to my brother. Don't miss that. And then the Lord says, buddy, life's happening right now. Here's what's going on. The provisions of life God gives to us. They're to be used for His glory. And the preparation for the future, our preparation for the future, the Lord prepares us now. What He's doing right now is preparing us for the future. I said you're here for such a time as this. I'm here for such a time as this. This unexpected death in my family. And I love the boy, and I love him now. I'll speak of him in present tense. I love him now. And even at that, it's preparing me and preparing us in a way for what's coming on and what's going to happen. The purpose of Jesus, you see, He says, the Father's good pleasure, little flock, is to give you the kingdom. The Father's pleasure is to give you the kingdom. Then our next question is, well, why don't we have it yet? That's the Father's pleasure. We want everything now, don't we? Waiting is so difficult for us. Particularly when we're waiting for something special like is promised here, or a specific timeline and we're waiting. Proverbs says that hope deferred, or that which you're waiting for, that which you're hoping for, makes the heart sick. It gets where you've got this vision out in front of you, you've got things you're wanting to see happen, and it doesn't happen on your time frame. And so you get heart sick, you get discouraged, depressed, and you just, I'm giving up right there. How long's one of the... Do you know this? You can look this up now because you can do it on your Bible app or some Bible app on your phone. How long, that statement, how long, question mark, is one of the most often repeated phrases in the Old Testament. How long? How long? How long, Lord? I'll have to study that one time. Somebody can look it up and see how many times it occurs just in your Old Testament. How long? How long? How long? And he says, listen, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He knows you're waiting. Stay focused while you're waiting. And while you're waiting, you see, Christ is expecting us as his bride to be those that are ready, focused, listening, waiting, and can I say with anticipation? That's where we're to be. We cannot be, church. I say this, man, I'd like to have 10,000 young people here and say, don't lose your focus. Put it back where it ought to be. And get it right, man. Get it right, because you're going to pass through real quickly this phase that you're in. You're going to go through that quicker than you ever thought. But the things you put in here now is going to guide you through the rest of your life. And what you need, you're going through this phase, is focus on the truth of God, what His Word says, focus on Him, what His plan is, always ask His plan, always seek His direction. Don't go against the principles of God's Word. Let those principles stay in you. Feel them in your heart, your mind. Focus on them. Ask God, Lord, guide me, direct me here. Help me to stay focused on you. Don't let me get sidetracked on any other thing. You see, we don't, quote, have the kingdom yet. But He did say, the kingdom's within you. We're waiting for the literal kingdom when the Lord's going to set up His rule over the earth for 1,000 years, and the curse will be lifted for 1,000 years, and the grass will have not a weed in any of the grass, and you can plant corn in the morning and go and get corn on the cob and have roast ears that evening. That's how the curse is going to be lifted on the earth. And 1,000 years of that, and Jesus is going to reign, and we're going to reign with Him. That hasn't happened yet, but He said, the kingdom's within you. Now, how could He say that? Because the King is in you. And if you got the King in you, you got the kingdom. Who cares if you can plant corn this morning and have roast ears if you got the King with you? You have the kingdom in you, you see. I'll say it this way. Christ is expecting us as the church. He's expecting me and you as believers. He's expecting us to live in kingdom style, although we're not in the kingdom, quote, age yet. But we are in His kingdom right now. Man, we're in His family. We're part of His kingdom, part of His family. The King lives in us. I have the kingdom within me in that sense. Even though He hasn't set it up on the earth, and we see all of these crazy things happening and people losing their minds and their focus and this crazy, you know, I get too much news, really, at times. I have to push it out of my mind. I think, my Lord, where is their brain? What's going on here? Why can they think anything else more foolish than this? And the answer is yes, they can. Yes, they can. So, but what does that do to us? Hey, it doesn't. I'm going to stay focused. You stay focused. Because their vision is so short-sighted, that will pass. Ours will continue on. We'll look beyond this. And we're seeing beyond this. And that's the thing, folks. That's what's so wonderful about God and His Word, is we are looking way beyond our current mess. And if you go back in Isaiah and you read the current mess that was going on with Isaiah, they had some of the same things. Truth was falling in the streets. He said people's, you know, Isaiah talked about a time where it was folks was making the most foolish decisions. They were offering They were offering children to idols. Here we got abortion. They were doing anything and everything you could imagine. They was disregarding God. Isaiah was preaching against it, and he pronounced woes against them. There was that, chapter 5. He pronounces woes. Woe unto you when you call evil good and good evil. Boy, aren't we doing that today? You church folk are so bad. You won't accept us in our transgenderism. You won't accept us as we think we are. Well, of course we won't accept you as we think you are, because the Word of God says who you really are. He made you male, He made you female, and I'll call you boy, I'll call you girl or man or woman. I'm not going to call you it or thing. I'm going to call you who you are by the Word of God. And you'll pass through that, and someday you'll come to a realization, as I got an article back there from Newsweek magazine laying on my desk, of this dear one that bless her heart, and I say that with all the compassion in the world, because she had had her breast removed, she had had all these operations to change everything about her, and she's the most miserable 35-year-old you ever read about, and she said that herself. She said this simply, "It never changed who I was." That sorry rascal, the demon, the devil, the old prince of demons, lied to her and made her think she wasn't worth nothing. She had to change her gender, try to, which she could never do. And he's a liar, you see. But now listen, she's done come through that phase, and she realizes the truth. She's come through this stage. Where on God's earth was she, or could she have ever heard a message even like this? Or a message somewhere, or get in a church where she could hear the truth and the truth could set her free, and she'd say, "Wait, hey man, I'm pushing this stuff out of my mind. I'm going to focus on what God says, on the truth, who I am, what I am, how precious I am to Him. I'm of more value than..." Oh, if she could have heard that, "I'm of more value than many sparrows." If she could have heard that, "Man, you're worth more than any raven. You're worth more than all the flowers of the field which I clothe. You're worth so much more." If she could have heard that, maybe she wouldn't have tried it. These others, our dear young people committing suicides and things, if they could just hear, they're worth so much more to God than what the devil's lying to them about. So I want to say to all of us tonight, before we come and pray, is the purpose of your life, as he says right here, life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment, there in verse 23. It's more than just what's going on right now. It goes further. You pass through this phase. You go through this and there's more out there. And then you get more eternity in your view than ever before. We all know, all of us, it's grown up in, you know, in the Lord and maturing in the Lord, and you know how you know how things change for you. You know, I remember when I was in high school, when early years, I was a, I don't know, 13 or 14, that would put me in the ninth grade, I guess. Anyway, and when I was that age, man, I was wanting a 55 Chevrolet. My brother had one. I was wanting to get it and fix it up. I didn't even have a job. You know, Daddy asked me, I said, "Daddy, can I keep my brother's car?" And he said, "Well, he needs to trade it in and get a little better one." This is when you could buy a 55 Chevrolet for $400 or $500, you know. I said, "Well, I'll get one." He said, How you gonna get $500? Well, I don't know. I'll mow yards. Now, I was mowing yards for 50 cents an hour. Okay, figure that out. 50 cents an hour. How many hours would I have to mow to get $500 to buy my brother's car? It'd take quite a few hours when you figure up on that. Of course, Dad was thinking. But I eat, slept, and drunk that. "Oh, Daddy," he said, "Son, you'll get something later. You'll get something later." And guess what? In a couple of years, I didn't want a 55 Chevrolet. You know, I'd like to have one now, but anyway, I didn't want one. That changed. My vision was different. But then, oh, I could dream of it. I could think of it. I could tell you what color I was going to paint it and all this stuff. All of that was there. And I went through those phases. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. I'm going to, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I was going to the Coast Guard Academy one time. Almost did. And I remember I couldn't work out an appointment. They wanted me to come up for a physical. They wanted me to come up for an interview and physical up at New Haven, Connecticut. I believe that's where the Coast Guard Academy is. I was about to go there. I graduated high school. And I thought, man, that's an opportunity. And I couldn't work out an appointment with them. And the opening come at Eastman, and I was there, and I said, well, I'm going to take this. A bird in hand's worth two in the bush. So I told the fellow, the captain that called me from the Coast Guard, I said, hey, man, I can't work something out. If you give me a little more definite yes or no, am I going to get in if I come? I can't tell you that, sir. I said, well, I really need to know because I've got a good job, and they'll pay for my school. I said, if you could just tell me, am I in the top, percentage to get in? I can't tell you that, sir. And I'm going, well, I'm probably not going to come right now till you can tell me a little more. And the Lord had all that planned out because I wouldn't have met Sandra. She said, what if you hadn't have stayed here and met me? I'd have said, oh, the beauty of the oceans. Oh, don't you tell her I said that. See, she's not here tonight. No. Don't you tell her I said it. I know you will. You're saying right now, I'm not going to tell her till I see her. I know exactly what you're saying. You rascals, you. But anyway, I said all that to say this. God had another plan. And I'm so glad that I just waited. Little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But waiting. How long, Lord? Probably one of the most asked questions in the Old Testament. Don't lose focus, church. God has the plan. Armor up, look up, listen up. He's speaking. He is speaking perhaps more now than I've heard him in my whole lifetime. There's a lot of stuff going on, Brother Roy, and God's telling us. He's saying, listen. So we're going to end tonight. If you want to come around the altar and have prayer. And let's pray. Lord, keep us focused. Keep our young people focused. Help us, oh God, to speak truth to them. Help us to point them the other way. Please, Lord, please help them interfere. I pray this prayer every day. Lord, I ask you to rebuke the demon voices that's speaking to people to keep them, number one, from being saved. Demonic voices out there influences keeping people from being saved. Number two, Lord, rebuke those demon voices that's keeping people from focusing on you and the need of the church and getting in. I'm so thrilled to hear the news about the big crowds on Easter Sunday. I said, glory to God. They've heard all these demon voices that came through COVID. Oh, don't get in a crowd. Oh, be careful. Don't get in a crowd. And now the demon voices, that church right there, those churches, they stand on the word. They won't allow no transgenders. They won't allow anybody. Let me tell you something. Anybody in the world can come in here. They're going to hear the gospel. They'll hear the message. Will we give them an office in the church? No. But we'll sure preach the truth to them. We'll love them. We'll love on them. They can be saved. And if we need to, if they can't decide whether they're men or women for the bathrooms, we'll put 1 John out there on the hill. They can do whatever they want to. But we'll do whatever. They're welcome. What I'm saying is this. We're going to stay focused on the book. We're going to stay focused on what God is saying. And at the same time, Lord, rebuke these demon voices that's confusing these folks. And bind them and cast them away. I pray that every single day along other lines of asking God to rebuke the demons and Satan and all that's hindering. But let's come tonight, church. Let's pray. Lord, interfere, intercede in us and through us. Interfere with old Satan's attack. God, help us. And those that want to join us here in the altar, come on. We'll just close out that way tonight. And thank you for your patience. I know that we went through a lot of verses here, but oh, how this burns my heart. purpose of our life, it's worth more. Oh, don't you know, he says, life is more than meat and body is more than raiment. Life is more than just what's now. There's other things, and you're more precious. You're more precious than that sparrow and that raven or those flowers. You mean more. You are worth